He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Part of the problem, or one of the things that the Lakers are going to run into, is that in order to check some of those boxes, they're going to have to uncheck some of the boxes or check them to a lesser extent than they do right now, where they only have one first-round pick at their, that they can trade. They only have the number 55 pick in the second round of this year's draft. Maybe they, you know, they find a way to open up some more assets elsewhere. But chances are you're probably looking at either trading Rui or Reeves when it comes to checking more of those boxes across the rest of your roster. I still pretty squarely stand on don't trade Austin Island. But I do think there's an argument to be made that if you trade Rui, you uncheck one of your, you know, the boxes that you're looking to fill, which is physicality and athleticism and all that stuff. Whereas if you trade Rui or Reeves, the idea of perimeter creativity and initiation and stuff like that, that's something that you don't necessarily, you can stand to take a bit of a step back there. If it comes down to those two guys that the Lakers wind up having to move in order to better check or better allocate resources elsewhere on the roster, how are you looking at that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I've been of the mindset that, you know, everything I've heard from the Lakers, that they don't want to move Austin Reeves. They love Austin. They don't want to trade him.
Absolutely.
I'm of the mindset, though, same as I was with D'Angelo Russell, what was it, season before last, that his contract says you have to be open-minded about the trade market.
Yeah.
Because he can hit free agency next summer. If he tells you,
could you imagine going from, this is your most valuable asset, arguably one of the most valuable trade assets in the league, and then losing him for nothing the following year?
We've lived that life. We did it with Dwight Howard. You know, we've lived that life. And that is, you cannot allow it. You cannot allow that to happen. And so you either are going to have to be very, very confident that Austin is going to re-sign, or, I mean, ideally, hey, he takes that contract extension this summer. I doubt that that's the way this goes. They can give him 4 years and just under $90 million. I doubt that's where this goes. But simply because he can hit free agency next summer, and there's a and teams are going to be lining up cap space for that summer, there's a chance he could walk away. Like, I don't think he would actually leave, but there's always that possibility. So if you're the Lakers, you always have to consider options to protect yourself from that situation. So I do think that without even getting into whether or not he can really fit with Luka, you have to at least be open-minded, more so than in the past, simply because of the contractual situation. That said, I do think that Rui, as an expiring contract, $18 million, he's been great. Look, two seasons in a row, he's shot better than 50% from the field and better than 40% from three. There's not a lot of guys in the NBA that can do that. And we're talking
especially
about
his size.
Exactly. At 6'8", 7'2", wingspan. He's a big dude. Maybe he doesn't always play big, but he's a big dude. And so if we're talking about punishing teams for paying too much attention to Luka or LeBron or Austin, like, Rui's pretty damn good at doing that. And so you certainly don't give him away for nothing. But I do think there's something to this idea that Rui, Finney Smith, LeBron, arguably Luka too, they're all probably at their best when they're defending fours.
Yep.
And you probably need to, if you can get a big, you got to check the box at the center position, but downsizing Rui into more of a guy who's like a 3-4 instead of more of a solid 4 or 4 or 5. And they play him at the 3, but I think they need somebody who's maybe a little bit quicker. You can go a little bit smaller as long as you're checking the box on the, in the big front and getting a 5. But I think that's where you look to go and get. You look at the Mikal Bridges, or not that you can get him, but those types of players that have the ability to create a little bit, to put the ball on the floor and attack and be a secondary creator for you as well. That's the type of player that you need to go find. Again, much easier said than done, but if you're able to use Rui in a kind of trade to get somebody like that, I could see it being a net positive for the Lakers.
So we've been kind of attacking this conversation for the first half hour here from a standpoint of, we think they're close enough to make a couple of these moves and give it a go next season. One of the hypotheticals that Pete, especially from LFR, has been talking about is, what if we just treat this like a gap year and keep more of your powder dry and give it more of a go the following year when you have more draft assets to potentially utilize? Mm-hmm. Have you considered that as an option here? Is that something that you've, you know, I keep going back and forth on it because it's hard for me to look at a roster with LeBron and Luka and say, yeah, we're good. Just wait. You know, that's difficult for me from a competitor standpoint, but it is something that I think they have to seriously entertain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a couple things pushing back against that, but there's also some things for it when we look at this historically, right? So
Luka
for
should example, walk if they aren't serious.
that's part of it, right? If the Lakers aren't saying we're ready to go right now, August 2nd, does Luka sign that extension? Because if he doesn't, the same dynamic I just talked about with Austin, that applies to Luka. And then we're talking about Luka trades. The Lakers don't want to go down that path. That's for sure. They also, Luka had been in LA for what, like a day, 2 days? And they're like, hey, here's Mark Williams, right? Anthony Davis is, what the hell, man? Anthony Davis was asking for a big for years, and they never got that for him. So I think we've got some evidence to say that they will go ahead and make these moves to try to go this summer. But we also have, historically, we've seen there was a lot of pressure on them to move Russell Westbrook. Now, maybe they should have, right, with the Miles Turner and the Buddy Hield deal that they had on the table that they didn't take prior to that season. But they felt like they could do something else in the season. They said, we're going to be patient. They waited till the season. Last summer, everybody was upset. I was upset. They didn't make any moves. They said, we're going to be patient. We didn't see the right deal. We're going to wait till the season. Lo and behold, they get the Dorian Finney-Smith trade. Then, oh my God, what? You're really going to give us Luka? Okay, right? That comes about too. So we've also seen them be patient. I think it's possible that if the general response around the NBA is, oh, you guys need a big, we'll give you a big, but we want everything, right? Yeah. If it's a, you have no leverage, the only deals are bad deals, I think the Lakers will indeed keep the powder dry. It's not fun. I don't want to say that, but I think they very much could consider doing something like that, because I believe the MO is now you're building around Luka's timeline and you don't want to waste a year on LeBron. But if the only options are bad options, you're better off waiting and seeing if you find something mid-season, with the downside being you have less time to develop chemistry and all of that, or even waiting till next summer. So I think it's a real possibility, but it's not the road that I hope we're traveling down come, you know, August.
I think we'll learn a lot about that fairly quickly, you know, whether it's at summer league, whether it's right after the draft, whether it's right before the draft, all that stuff, right after the season ends, you know, we'll sense that frustration from the Lakers. Cause that was the thing, was that, you know, when I was talking to people last year during that offseason where they essentially sat it out, the people I was talking to weren't sitting there like, haha, these idiots, they, you know, we're playing five steps ahead. We know eventually we're getting Luka. No, it was a real sense of frustration. We know that there are things that we have to do. We're just not going to give up Rui and Vando and multiple first rounders for Jeremy Grant. That's just not going to happen, you know, and they were right not to. Right. And so, you know, because we arrive here where we're at right now, Rui's a better basketball player than Jeremy Grant. Mm-hmm. Do you see the stat that Grant hasn't played in April in the last like 3 years?
No, I didn't see that. That's unbelievable. Insane. And he had a terrible season. Rui's definitely more valuable than Grant right now. No question. But I didn't see that. He hasn't played in April since then.
That's crazy. I think, you know, and this is Pete that we're talking about, you know, the dude, you cut him open and it's purple and gold that runs out of him. And even he is kind of looking at it like, are they, and I think that's kind of why I framed the conversation that I did, because I think you can just get close enough, right? You can clear the dartboard and you can fire a dart there and maybe it'll land where you're looking for it to land. But I feel like that's how you also place yourself squarely on that treadmill of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does take taking a step back, you know, scalping your lawn so that you know it grows back fuller the following year or that spring. And I that's kind of where I find myself kind of wondering, as annoying and as painful as it might be, is that actually the more prudent approach here? Because you are looking at a 41-year-old LeBron next year. You are talking about an Austin Reeves and a Luka Doncic combination that is lacking in terms of raw athleticism. If those guys are going to be pillars of your team moving forward, mm-hmm. are you ever going to be athletic enough there? So, I find myself, it's one of those annoying devils on your shoulder that is like, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you want to give up another first rounder to just make the team just slightly better, you know, good enough? I don't know that that's a path that I would take. And even I still think, though, Trevor, that you can do a version of that and still take steps forward as a team. And that's where moving a Rui might help, because of the redundancy between him and the other fours on the team. Darius actually made the case on a recent show for trading for DeAndre Ayton and making Rui the centerpiece of that trade, because if anything, you might be able to get a pick back in that case. If it's the centerpiece of Rui going out for DeAndre Ayton, you might be able to get like a second rounder or something back. I don't hate that idea. And the explanation I would kind of use on Ayton, I know that Claxton is a far better fit, much surer bet, all of that stuff. But in that case, you have to send out the first round pick in all likelihood. Mm-hmm. If you do bring in Ayton, we saw that year in that 1920 season with Dwight, where it was like, hey, you have leaped around for a good chunk of your recent career. If you don't make this work, you're done in the NBA. Remember how toxic he was that offseason? Nobody wanted him.
Yep.
And they brought him in. They had that conversation with him. He got his head on right. And eventually he really helped the Lakers win a championship and extended his career another few years. And if I'm the Lakers, I bring in Ayton. I say, hey, do you like making 20 plus a year to play center in the NBA? Because if you continue on this path where people are questioning your motor, people are questioning your understanding of what it takes to win basketball games, all of this stuff, if that continues that way, you're looking at mid-level money from here on out and then minimum money. And I think kind of buying low on a granted very talented basketball player, I think that's a path where you can keep some of your powder dry and bring in somebody who fits better with the core that you currently have.
I think the difference is your risk was so much lower with Dwight because he's a minimum contract and all that, right? Yeah. You're talking about there's a real, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be interested in Ayton. I think a lot of it would depend on people who know him. What do you believe is up here? What do you really think is up there? Like, is that switch going to get flipped on by being in the bright lights of LA? And is he going to really start playing up to his potential? Because there's certainly potential there. But if that answer is no, then that's it, right? That ship has sailed, because he's got to hit that next level of play when it comes to the energy on the floor, the motor. That's got to be a big key. But there's a real opportunity cost to going after a guy like him, and that's that you'd have to give up Rui. Plus, you're probably talking about both of your biggest expiring contracts in Gabe Vincent and Maxi Kleba just to make the money work. The Lakers got to send out more money than they take back in a trade. So that would mean that you've got to be very sold, whether or not the value is where you want it to be. You've got to be very sold that this is the dude that we think can take that step and can be that long-term fit with Luka. And so that's number one. If you're going to look at Ayton, it's, do you believe that he's going to make that kind of a leap? Because with a guy like Dwight, if he starts screwing around and it doesn't work out or something like that, all right, you're on a minimum contract. We'll cut you, see you later, and we'll move on to the next guy. Yeah. You're not going to be able to do that when you're giving up, you know, some, even if it's not trade assets that you're giving up. And I'm sure the Blazers, they hate the Lakers. They would demand some type of pain coming from the Lakers. But even if you're giving up Gabe, Maxi, Rui in that deal, and you're getting your big and Ayton, there is a real opportunity cost with that. So again, I think something like that, it will come down to, what do you believe about Ayton's mentality? Is he ready to take that next step forward? Because if so, there's an opportunity there. And that kind of brings me right back to this spot, Anthony, where I do think if we talk about, is there a way to sort of thread the needle, to walk the middle ground here between sitting on your hands and doing nothing and going all in and all the picks, everything we've got that's not bolted down to the floor, we're going to trade. I do think that if you're looking at kind of the stopgap guys that are out there on the center market, the Lakers have got to be one of, if not the most attractive landing spots for anybody that's out there. I mean, you've got an immediate starting job. You're catching lobs from Luka, for crying out loud. Like, there are guys that once the money really dries, and there's not a lot of money out there, there are guys that are going to say, well, damn, if the money's all even, I'm going to go start for the Lakers over going to Team X, Y, or Z right now. So that's another situation that the Lakers could potentially take advantage of. Now, is trading for DeAndre Ayton giving you the opportunity to do that? Maybe if you can get one of those guys to say, okay, I'll be a backup, like does Clint Capella want to back up Ayton? I don't know about that. But that's another thing that the Lakers have to factor in. It's, are you getting, if you're going to trade for your big, is that the guy long-term? I think that's the box that has to be checked if you're going to do it via trade. Because otherwise, I think they're going to be a prime landing spot for any of the older stopgap, one-year bridge center type guys that are out there, even though there's not many of them.
Yeah, that's how I'm kind of looking at the taxpayer mid-level that they have to work with is, you know, those kinds of players who are worth more than the vet men, but are trying to resuscitate their careers. Because before the playoffs started, Trevor, we thought that Jackson Hayes was going to have his career.
He was resurgent. Great. What happened? He was great.
So if you're a center and you're like, well, I'm better than that guy, then yeah, I would say, yeah, go ahead and give it a go at trying to recreate your career or take that, extend it to add another chapter or two to the tail end of it. But yeah, the other reason too, just really quickly on the Ayton thing, the other reason that I'm kind of interested in him, on top of the talent, because over the course of his career, he's averaged a double-double. Mm-hmm. Again, like the tools, there's a lot to like there. I don't love that I'm concerned about his motor and all that stuff. But the one thing that I will say about Ayton, if you trade for him in the offseason, he is still an expiring contract that you could. So if you don't trade a first with him or to get him, which the Lakers wouldn't, then you could potentially attach a first to him and go out and get a player for more money or players for more money. Sure. So that's another kind of thing that I was kind of thinking about in that hypothetical. But yeah, I think multiple bigs. I think they really need a 2-3 type wing, and one name who is always going to be popular in that regard is going to be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because of his winning a championship with the Lakers. He looked a little washed adjacent, I would say, last year. But I think a lot of, especially the offensive issues had a lot to do with Orlando just not having any guards who can dribble and pass very well. They have Franz and they have Paolo, but those guys are very good at creating for themselves, not quite long enough in the tooth to be good enough at creating for others. And KCP needs his plate set every game. What do you think about KCP or that kind of positional necessity here in the summer?
I mean, honestly, there's always going to be a kind of nostalgia element with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, right? He was part of those Lakers teams that won, and it was really good for the Lakers. I mean, you could argue that because of the Clutch Sports connection, that he was kind of the bridge to getting LeBron.
The beginning of it, yeah.
And, right, that was the start of everything. So I do like KCP. My only concern is I believe he has a player option for not this season, but the following season after. And right now, the Lakers' books are remarkably clean to where if LeBron says, hey, I'm going to make next season my sort of send off here. You've got a lot of pivot options for that next summer right now. Now that obviously can change significantly this summer, depending on what the Lakers do. But if you're going to add a guy like a KCP, you have to factor in that he's going to probably be on your books for that next year as well, which could limit a little bit of your flexibility. But I do agree that he's the type of guy that you want to go get ideally, if you believe that he can be the KCP of old. But I also think we need to remember that the KCP of old was also incredibly streaky. I mean, he was a guy who, and not streaky like night in, night out, like month to month. Like he would go a month and not be able to. Do you remember the first, I think it was that season they won the championship. He started out that first month like blowing lamps and stuff, like weird stuff. And then he eventually came back around. So
yeah,
you have to remember what we're signing up for with him. But I do like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope a lot. Let me throw something at you, though.
Okay.
There's another element to this. You talked about like getting those kind of guys on like veteran minimums and saying, hey, play your way into a bigger contract next year using the Lakers spotlight, a la Malik Monk, Dennis Schroeder did it, these types of guys. Well, the Lakers right now, with all the flexibility they have for 2026, may not be staring down a situation like they did with Monk, with Schroeder, where it suddenly, Schroeder was a little different, but with Monk specifically, where, hey, turns out he's really good. He rehabilitated his value and crap, we can't pay him, right? That was that was the problem. They may not be in that situation this year. So I do wonder if there's an opportunity to go get like, is it like a D'Anthony Melton, somebody like that that needs to rehab their value. And then you've got a younger guy that can sort of fill that role. And hey, if it clicks and he works, okay, now we actually have some flexibility to maybe pay him and hang on to this guy long term. Just another thing that I've been kind of kicking around in my head that the Lakers could look to do this summer.
He looked really good before he got hurt in Golden State. He looked really good. The Warriors fans loved him. And, you know, that was a fun fit there. And actually, I really liked the fit with him, with both him and Austin and him with Luka, because of his the point of attack defense that he brings to the table. It's going to be a fun offseason, and we're going to keep on kind of prepping for it. Trevor, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I mean, not much. You guys know you can find me over at Lakers Nation, the NBA front office show as well, and the Basketball Bulletin, where I'm breaking down the entire NBA there as well. Keeping busy, that's for sure. But Anthony, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a blast talking Lakers basketball with you.
It's always fun, Trevor. It's a great time. We never do it frequently enough, so we're gonna try to fix that here moving forward. Sure. And yeah, I do want to give front office a shout out. You and Keith do a fantastic job. It's incredibly informative. Really fun. The chemistry there is excellent. So I know everybody who follows the show is going to follow Lakers Nation. That kind of goes without saying. I'll say it anyway. Lakers Nation does great work, but front office is also a fantastic podcast that you guys need to be subscribed to as well.
Thank you, really appreciate that.
All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. A reminder that I said before the weekend kicked off, if you are going to go out and have your fun today, or as you have over the course of the weekend, please hop in an Uber, figure out a DD situation. Please be safe out there. Have a great holiday. Let's finish strong. Let's run through the tape and then get ready for another week. A nice short week. I love Monday holidays. They're way better than Friday holidays. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.